Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
And the Saints have to punt it away. And this Bears defense has blanketed Dennis Allen's former team on the offensive end. They have a total of 4 yards.
It is very impressive. And it doesn't matter what they're trying to do. This Chicago Bears defense has just stoned them at every time. The only positive things that have happened are penalties committed by the Bears right now for the Saints offense.
He knocked the ball loose. Dexter recovers it. How big was that for you early in the game?
It was huge. The turnovers are contagious. Once we get one, we like to piggyback with another one.
Fourth and one stop, too. How much pride do you take in something like that?
I take a lot of pride. If teams want to take that risk and go on fourth down, then we are all for it and getting off the field.
Get you angry when they come at you like that? You take that personally?
Yeah, I do take it pretty personal. They like to run. They want to run to my side and try me. So you got to have your big draws on.
That's Montez. He's very quietly put together a pretty solid year.
That's interesting. I don't feel like it's been a solid year. I feel like he came on and played and showed up against Washington, for sure. And then I felt like he was very much a presence and a factor yesterday in a lot of ways. And that D-line deserves plenty of credit. T.J. Edwards gave it to him this morning with Mully and Haw talking about the run game. And he said, honestly, if you're watching those guys up front, they're winning a lot of battles. And Big Bill is making his presence felt. Like, as this defense has been better the last couple weeks, I've been thinking a lot about the secondary. I've been thinking a lot about the backers. I haven't thought a lot about the defensive line, but maybe I need to.
Maybe you need to start thinking about them and thinking about everything that goes on in this defense, which we will get back to talking to in just a minute. We were shocked by this today. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see John Mulaney's Mr. Whatever show at Wrigley Field on Saturday, July 11th.
That's hot.
Yeah, it is. You should be caller 6 to 312-540-0670 the next time you hear this.
So Kimball finds out about all of this, and of course he's furious. And he bursts in the ballroom and he goes, "You switched the samples!" And Dr. Nichols is like, "Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Dr. Richard Kimball." What accent did that guy have, by the way? He goes, "You switched the samples!"
Yeah, he's stealing Grody's bit.
So when you hear that later, make sure you call and you should win tickets for what is going to be a historic event.
First time a comic has ever played Wrigley Field.
Can't pick a better person to do it than John Mulaney. So I'm excited we've got these tickets to give away. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips.
So the defense, so the Dennis Allen, shall we talk about the scheme that man came up with, the strategic advantage that Ben Johnson has talked about with him before.
Strategery.
And the effective excellence of the defense outside of like two drives, the wraparound drives of the halftime.
Here's what I love about it. Everyone wants their defensive coordinator to be Brian Flores. And or what they imagine Brian Flores to be. Oh, we're going to go zero blitz all night, and we're going to do this and that, and da-da-da-da. And sure, if you have a coordinator that is maybe not as comfortable with the pieces that he has on defense, that can be an effective way to make up for those type of losses. Watching Dennis Allen kind of get guys back and figuring out in real time, instead of just working off of last year's film, of things that they can do is really exciting. We're both big Kyler Gordon fans.
He's got him back now.
And now that he's got him back, this is stuff that Bears fans knew already. This is, oh, they got a guy that's really special, that he's the smallest guy on the field, but he kind of plays like a linebacker a lot. And in some of the ways that he was used under Matt Eberflus, who I think did a great job of using Kyler Gordon, you say, all right, we're going to use you in the run game.
Hey, Spider-Man!
That's right. Pew, pew. Spider-Man is out there. He will go and support run defense. He will go and make the tackle behind the line of scrimmage. He's not scared to take on blocks of bigger guys that are out there.
By the way, Kyler last night, or yesterday, did end up going outside when Nashawn Wright got hurt, and they had Josh Blackwell in at the slot corner, because they at one point they were without their top four cornerbacks.
To have a guy that has that level of flexibility,
incredible,
is awesome. And seeing it play out almost exactly the way that Dennis Allen had described it when he first got here and talking about, because that was the guy that he was super excited about. He was excited to have his own honey badger to go out there and just wreak havoc on offenses, because you don't know where he is, and he can be lined up anywhere. He can be lined up in the slot and then be blitzing and not worried about your slot receiver. He's going to get to the quarterback before you turn around, because he's got that level of speed. And then you have a healthy Jaquan Brisker.
Dude, that guy is flexible too. And Brisker talked about it after the game. He said, that's the way I like to be used, like a Swiss Army knife, said Brisker. Like, he dreams of being used like that. Dennis Allen got, Brian Flores gets a lot of the credit for this style of showing 7, 8, 9 guys and only bringing some and having the quarterback confused. Dennis Allen's been doing that for a long time in this league. He is one of the progenitors of that. He's done it, and we've seen other games in this stretch where he showed 7 or 8 or even 9 and then dropped people back. This time, I felt like it was the first time you saw him actually use the secondary guys like crazy. He used Gordon, as you saw. He used Brisker, like you mentioned. He even used Jonathan Owens.
He sure did.
On the Nashawn Wright interception, Jonathan Owens is in as a third safety, and he blitzed. He junked up the front, was the way that one of the players described it after the game. That Dennis Allen junked up the front, and you know why I did it? Young quarterback. Confused the hell out of a young quarterback in Spencer Rattler. All these people who are writing and saying, boy, Spencer Rattler's been good. He only threw one interception all year. And yesterday he threw 3 and lost a fumble. What happened? Dennis Allen confused the hell out of him is a big part of what happened.
Yes, a huge part of what happened. And I want to go back to the strength of the Bears as a team. Going into this season, before we get to real injuries happening, and that's important. You looked at the defensive backfield and you went, look at that. Look at all the things that they have out there to make plays for you. Now, you have to make up for it because Jalen Johnson's not there. That's an all-pro level player that we're talking about at cornerback for you. Tyreek Stevenson, this season, has really stepped it up and has played to his potential.
Terrell Smith being out, man, that guy, because that guy was going to battle Tyreek for the spot if he stayed healthy, and at least would be out there. It'd be him and Tyreek as your two starting corners without a doubt.
But when you really look at it and say, look at what they can do, part of the reason that they can do all of this stuff with Brisker and with Gordon is because of how responsible Byard is. if you don't have a guy like that,
yeah,
that is out here baiting quarterbacks, and we saw it again twice yesterday.
Yeah, you should add two picks.
Yes, because I always enjoy the quarterback point. And if you're pointing and you get the ball out quick, it can be effective.
But if you're pointing for somebody to go deep and then you wait for a while, then you scramble and then you elevate the ball. Byard said he saw it too, folks.
I want you to go back. If you're a Bears fan within the sound of our voices, I want you to just find the highlight of Byard's interception. Because you can see the moment where he goes, I got it. You can, the end zone version of it where Spencer Rattler is pointing and Kevin Byard is like, got it.
Yeah.
And then starts taking off. He
appreciate you pointing that out.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going to go. And I'm going to get to the ball before your receiver gets to the ball. It's amazing because it's like Byard is like on a hash.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's playing his 111. And then he sees like, okay, where are you going, little guy?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to throw it?
Little guy.
Oh, all right, cool.
Little guy.
And then it's so like I can't say enough good things about how well Byard has played the safety position this season. And when you've got a responsible person in the back end of your defense, a guy that's going to make it right, like the guy that if the defense is wrong can make it right.
It's a safety. That's what he is.
When you've got one of those, you can play all sorts of games. Because he's going to make it right. And he's going to go, all right, I got this covered. Go get them, fellas. And they're out there getting them.
Dennis Allen must be having so much damn fun right now.
And the two linebackers yesterday played exquisite football games.
But they both did. How about Edmonds finishing that sack? Like around the ankles. I've seen him get close and not finish before, but he finished that one. And then he had the pick on the Edwards deflection. That they brought population to the football.
Population to the football is a very important thing. So look at that. Like you have all levels of this team is having an impact on their defense. And when you have three levels working as one, it can be really dangerous and so much fun.
Uh-huh.
That's the other part. When you watch And I'm sure that at one point Brisker's going to get his, right? Like, because he likes to be in your face about how well the defense is playing. At some point, he'll have something bust and people will be able to get back at him.
It happened to Tyreek yesterday. After Tyreek was playing great, he broke up a pass. He made a big hit on the sideline, which might have been what injured him. We're not sure. And then he got burnt deep at one point. The league will come at you quickly.
Yes.
And find you.
But they're having so much fun that it's infectious.
Yeah, it is.
It's when you're watching the concept of a defense full of guys who are flying around. That's what the Bears defense is right now.
Yeah, they really are. They got four takeaways. Apparently, that's what Al Harris has been talking about. Here's Nashon Wright after the game talking about all the takeaways that they're getting, including the four yesterday.
So I've been with Al for a long time, and especially when you get up early, like you know the ball got to go in the air. But he's all like, that's just been him, like four. Like, let's go into this game and get four. And when you can come up with four, it's great. Like, and then when you continue to generate turnovers, they gotta put the ball in the air. The offense goes score. Like, so yeah, four is the magic number right now.
I was told that three was the magic number. I heard that from a lot of people. I heard it from De La Soul. I heard it from Blind Melon. And I heard it from Schoolhouse Rock. I was told that.
That three is the magic number?
Yes. Yes. Kevin Byard said, the ball has been on our mind. Al Harris is some type of character from the Bible. He's been prophesying. He said before the game on Saturday night, I asked what the quota would be, and he said four. And we got four again. So Al Harris is some type of character from the Bible. What do you have a guess as to what character Al Harris is? I mean, who is he? Is he Abraham? Is he Old Testament? Is he New Testament? I have questions.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I might just say that he's a soothsayer. You could just say that.
Sure, that's a character.
You just say he's a soothsayer, that he's someone that can tell the future.
He says sooths. That's what he does. He's out there saying sooths.
Kevin Byard with 4 interceptions so far this season.
And could have had 5.
Yeah. Could have had 5 if Deshaun Wright doesn't knock himself out while knocking him down.
Get out of his business. But he got hurt. When he got hurt?
But I get it, though. Oh. I get it because it's like, everyone go get the ball. Like, let's go populate wherever the ball is. But I'm sure Byer was like, I got it. Get out of here. Trying to be all pro.
Yeah.
Is he in a walk year, by the way?
Who, Byard?
I think he is.
Oh, was it a 1-1 that he signed and they picked up the option? Is that how that worked?
Yeah.
It might have been a 2-year.
He might get one more bite at the apple, sir. He might get one more bite.
I got to tell you, man, after all the times we've had, you know, this is the, I love that prototype of the adult safety, like the veteran adult safety to come in and teach you about how to do things, teach you about culture, teach you how to be a pro and still have meat on the bone. Remember, he was bad in Philly and they thought he was done after being great in Tennessee under Mike Vrabel. And then he comes here and he's been really good, especially this year. You're totally right about him being the safety, the smart, stable dude in the back who lets the kids go crazy. And I feel like he and Dennis Allen are a really good fit together.
We could go John the Baptist, right, on this, if we're going to go with a Bible character, because isn't he foretelling? He's foretelling the coming of the Lord, and he has so much faith in it.
I'm picturing Al Harris's head on a platter, and it's not good. I don't like that for him.
Yeah, but
isn't that what happened to John?
But before that, though, you know.
Oh, yeah, before John had a good run before that?
Yeah. I mean, that character has also seemed popular, you know, movies and television. That's basically what Morpheus is. Morpheus is John the Baptist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a whole biblical corollary to The Matrix, I'm sure, that has been fleshed out. And
spoiler alert, at the end of Matrix Revolutions, which could have very easily been Matrix Revelations, Neo is literally Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are the type of things that go on. My dad, taught this. Like, this was his, a thing.
Oh, where I love that.
He taught his students about the corollaries between the Bible and the Matrix.
Did he use the whiteboard that you took from his garage
and
you now use for Dave Wanstead?
No.
Whiteboard.
He was still using blackboards at the time.
Oh, man.
So, no, he didn't have. But, yes, the John the Baptist. Not John Baptiste, guy on Twitch. Not John Baptiste. Uh-huh.
He's good. He's great. But
who
not
could
him.
Also name all of Matt Forte's horses for him.
Oh, yeah, right. They got the Louisiana connection.
I texted. I was like, hey, listeners are trying to
you
name your horses.
You texted John Baptiste?
No, I texted Matt Forte.
Oh, okay.
And I said, the listeners are trying to name your horses. And he's like, I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got Beignet over here.
Jambalaya.
Jambalaya is over here.
And Crawdad, a texter said that Crawdad is like a one-eyed cat. Of some kind.
A one-eyed cat?
Yeah, like a problematic three-legged one-eyed cat. Oh, careful. Stay away from Crawdad over there. He gets ornery.
Can we name one of his horses Cajun? Like, it's just Cajun?
Like Ed Orgeron?
Just name it Ed Orgeron.
Well, Dave, I'll tell you about this. What about this?
He starts talking Cajun to him.
To his horses. Man, 15 takeaways for this defense in their last 4 games. They lead the NFL with 16. They're plus 11. Big Z did the research. In the last 10 seasons, there have only been 3 instances of a team having 15 or more takeaways in a 4-game stretch. That's how rare this is.
Pretty good.
This freaking heater that they're on right now.
There's
with takeaways.
An opportunity this week for that, too, to continue, depending on who's playing quarterback for the Ravens.
Do we need to enjoy Al Harris while he's still here?
Before he gets a defensive coordinator job somewhere?
It's a good question.
I think that it's trending in that direction.
The Alex value just keeps skyrocketing. He's talking about a heater. He's like the Bears defense right now. He got chicken. His thoughts have been good. Man, he's got it rolling.
Pet names need work.
The pet names need work.
I thought Crawdad was fine. That was like my favorite White Sox minor league cap, the Hickory Crawdads cap.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
There was an unbelievable White Sox story the other night in the TBS booth. Oh, my God, was it juicy. Because they were talking about long home runs when Shohei Ohtani hit, you know, really long home run. See that one? It's really long.
463, I think it was.
I don't know, man. It was out of Dodger Stadium. It went over the little roof of that place out there.
Yeah.
And then Ron Darling said that the longest home run he ever gave up was when he was facing Greg Hibbard and the White Sox at Old Comiskey? I think it was.
And Old Republic.
Old Republic.
Right there on Route 20 and Randall Road.
He gave a 479-foot shot to Bo Jackson.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
On one hip.
That makes sense.
Bo on one hip, man.
Between him and Dion, like the stuff that we've seen, the stuff that Gen Xers got to see.
Well, Shohei is their version, but he's only one sport, obviously, but Shohei doing what he's doing, it makes me think of Bo and makes me think of Dion. Hell, we had imitators. We had Brian Jordan. Remember Brian Jordan?
That's true.
Played in the secondary for the Falcons and was a power hitter outfielder for the Braves at the same time. Got buried because he wasn't Dion.
Like, no one's Dion.
No one's Dion.
No one. Spieg's got beef.
Oh, Ben.
He's got beef with Ben.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've praised him for over the past few weeks. And here's something that Spieg did not like yesterday. He will share it with you next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are great.
You're right. Thanks, Chris.
We'll send him the book. That is Chris Ronji.
Afternoons on The Score.
Every Sunday, it's unbelievable.
The NFL always delivers.
Oh, yeah. Remix, baby. Let's go. We're sharing Mentos as a show today, the Fresh Maker, as we celebrate a Bears Monday. Victory Chicken, also a thing today, as Alex Kuhn came up with Victory Chicken. He brought it here from Roost, and the chickens came straight from Roost.
It's delicious.
The chickens come home to Roost.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to him. By the way, this Sunday, join The Score in Circus Sports Illinois at Timothy O'Toole's Pub in Gurnee. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Baltimore. That's Sunday at Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Timothy O'Toole's is always a good time, and them being up at Gurnee, I'm actually tempted. I'm actually tempted because those guys and Timothy O'Toole's. Get a little breakfast going.
Well, the Timothy O'Toole's down here.
Phenomenal.
Is where Bears players used to go all the time.
Yep.
That's where Manley tells the story. That's where Ric Flair showed up, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Woo! Yeah. So Pat, I'm sure, will be having some hardcore Bears player vibes on the pregame show. Look, after they stuffed Alvin Kamara on 4th-and-1, okay? where Kamara was short on third and two, and then they ran the same exact play, and the Bears were like, what are you doing? And Montez said, you got to come with your big drawers on, like my grandma. After that, Bears have the ball with a minute 38 left at their own 43-yard line, Lawrence, in the first half. At this point, they're up 20-0, and the Saints have...
They're ready to quit. They're begging you to put them out of their misery.
And I'm thinking, man, just run the ball, which you're doing effectively, grind out some clock, make them use their timeouts, and if you need to pass and extend the drive, you probably can, especially as you are running it so well, but you might not even need to. You might just run through them and set yourself up for a field goal, make it 23-0, and don't give them another chance. Instead, three pass plays. And on first down, Caleb scrambles, escapes, misses Rome on the run. Second down, Caleb pressured, scrambles, and makes a pretty good throw to Rome, who's coming back for the ball, but Rome doesn't win the contested catch again. And that goes as a pass broken up.
Wow. Again, eh?
Yeah, I'm finding
Are we anti-Rome now?
No, no, no.
Is that what's happening?
I just want him to win some of those contested catches. That's all. I heard it was his strength. I want him to go up and get it, and he's drafted very highly to do such things.
Jeez.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong on this?
No, he needs to make catches in traffic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Contested catches, just has to do it.
God, more Alex.
You guys heard of Guagi? Go up and get it, guy.
I like Rome a lot better than you guys do.
Well, I'm not saying I don't like
Rome.
Love Rome. It's beautiful this time of year. But he's got to make that catch. Then third down, Caleb, a short throw to Zacchaeus, who gets five. And then the Saints call their first timeout. Torrey Taylor with a good punt.
There's 1:18 left when they call the timeout.
Yep.
And so there's not been a lot of time bled. There's been 20 seconds that's gone off the clock.
And you only made them call one of their three timeouts because you passed three times and two were incomplete. Run the damn ball. They had timeouts. You had timeouts. I thought that was a first instance of Ben not having good game management and clock management and feel. We have praised him for that, but not this. That bothered me.
His four-minute offense has been ideal, and I thought that I felt like what they were trying to do with the field position that they had was kill shot. Like, that's what it seemed like. It seemed like they were like, well, look at this great field position. What, they had the 43?
Yeah.
Look at this great field position. Even if we get three.
That's his ego coming out, isn't it?
Sure. And I'm okay with that occasionally. Like, but you were seeing a team that was like, man, they just needed one more bad thing to happen. And they were going to pack it in. So then they get the ball back.
Right. So that's the thing. They get
a really good punt, too, down at the nine. So you're like, oh, all right, you know. Probably give up a field goal, if anything.
But he gives the Saints the wraparound. Is it called the wraparound?
The double up.
The double up.
The opportunity for the double up. They hit the first play to Shaheed.
Yeah.
Then they go no huddle and incomplete. So now you got a chance. And then the Olave play for 57 yards.
Yeah.
That guy's still
great.
Still really good.
And he caught the other touchdown too.
He did.
After halftime. Well, here's Ben. He talked about it today. Again, new Ben. Hot, fresh Ben for you on how he did managing the end of the half.
I didn't think I did a good job calling plays in that sequence. I'm very, very aware of not wanting to give the ball back to the opponent with enough time for a rebuttal drive. I don't think I did the defense any favors with those play calls. And, you know, they had a better coverage than some of those pass plays a couple of times as well. So I can do a better job with those play calls. And then, you know, the message for our offense has always been, it doesn't matter if it's that 2-minute situation or we're just in a normal game mode, is once we get the first down, we're normally in a pretty good spot. But that was one right there. I feel like if we would have just found a way to get that first down, we would have had a little momentum to get that thing going and get some points.
Oh, man. Listen to that guy. What a breath of freaking fresh air to continue to be like, yeah, because go ahead, try stuff. And you said it's all right. Like, when if your ego gets involved, I'm like, oh, man, you're going for the kill shot. I get it. But now he says, looking back, and he hinted at it yesterday after the game, but today even more forthright today.
With that field position, I don't know if I would have necessarily made the same play calls, but I would have been aggressive. you're too close to field goal range to not try and score with that much time left.
But you can get some yards on running the ball. Correct. And make them call a timeout, and then you can throw it on second down if you want.
100%.
And your run game might pop because they have already rolled over, as you said.
Yeah, you have to make them burn all of their... Like, that's the goal of that drive. The secondary goal of that drive is to make them burn their timeouts. What?
Texters.
I don't know if you can say what the Texters are saying. I'd be very careful.
Wrap around, not the other thing.
Yes.
Yes.
But double up is usually what people around NFL say.
So, no, I do know what a wraparound is. I wasn't saying what you think I was saying.
Right.
And then.
Don't say it.
I'm not going to. Dodger Boy. Oh, he's having a good time these days. Dodger Boy texts in and he says, I like the phrase rebuttal drive. LOL. I agree.
Yeah,
the rebuttal drive.
It's in soccer, the counter. That's kind of what it is, and that's the rebuttal drive. And then they end up getting points.
Oh.
And now they've got some confidence. And now they can go, if we and I said to you guys, like, I'm excited to see the Saints' first drive of the second half, because now everyone's back in. Like, everyone's back involved, because it's not 23-0. Now, if we score, game on.
Right.
And it was game on for a while.
They're pumped up at half, like, 20-7, and we get the ball. Let's go down and score right in this thing. And then they do. And it's 2014. You're like, man, this shouldn't be like this. This is not the way this game was going. This should be a blowout. And it is what it is. Texter says, Ben's a breath of fresh air as long as he's winning. He wouldn't be as transparent if they were losing. Sir, when they lost their first couple of games, he was still transparent. He was. There was value there.
I tend to lean towards the listener on this one.
Really?
I don't know if he would have been as open to that particular mistake had they lost.
I don't know, man. I think we heard him be transparent even in...
It was the day after.
Okay.
Because he was Mr. Snippy. After the first two losses in the post-game press
conference. And he did it again last night. He will not comment on something that happened on the field without saying, I will look at the tape.
Yeah.
Even if it's a good thing.
But to his credit, unlike other coaches.
He does. He follows up.
He actually will go look at the tape and then have an answer
He'll give
for you.
He's different than almost all the coaches we have seen in almost all the sports that we have, frankly. And I know that's by design. He's deciding. And, you know, he learned it from, among others, Dan Campbell, who is the same way. Dan Campbell was transparent when the Lions were losing, and now that they're winning, he remains transparent. It's just freaking easier, folks. It's an easier way to live your life. You might get yourself in trouble every once in a while. For instance, last week, I thought Ben I thought it was not great that he defended Caleb in the whole Troy Aikman kerfuffle.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
But he's always going to have his players back, and he's going to shoot from the hip and be open. And for the most part, I think that is the right way to live one's life, even in the public eye.
I agree. And like we were saying, you can tell me that you're going to watch the tape, and you come back and tell me it's even better, because it's a more informed opinion on it. And I like that. I like that he follows it up. I like that, unlike other coaches that just use that as a way to kick the can down the road, and they're like, well, we're not talking about what happened before.
Yeah. Did you ever play kick the can? Did you ever legit play kick the can in your neighborhood growing up?
Absolutely.
I never did. Never did.
You played all sorts of games.
Yeah.
Back then.
So did I.
You know, kick the can.
Capture the flag. I played that at camp a couple of times.
Here's what was great about the house we lived in Roseland, is that the neighbor across the street had a bricked fence. So if we played strikeout in the driveway, we legitimately had like a home run fence to try and hit it over.
That's nice when that happenstance presents itself.
And the neighbor was nice about us going in the yard and like getting the ball back after we would hit it over there.
Yeah, that's good when the neighbor's nice.
And that neighbor owned the Heralds on 103rd and Halsted.
Oh, it's even better.
And on Fridays.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Now that is a good neighbor.
Yeah. Shout out to Mr. Pete.
Way to go, Mr. Pete.
Mr. Pete would come through with a bucket.
By the way, if you're looking for a horrifying and brutally sad true crime documentary, Perfect Neighbor on Netflix is really, really disheartening. Really just awful and sad.
May I make the suggestion that you check out the documentary One Golden Summer?
Oh, yeah. Now that is, I would hope, uplifting. I haven't seen it yet.
I went and saw it on Saturday, and it was very good.
That's about Jackie Robinson West, the Little League team, and my partner is featured prominently in it.
I didn't realize how prominently. It was a little uncomfortable
Should it be called the Lawrence Holmes story?
No, not at all. Not at all. not one bit, but they did ask me to add some historical context, so it was great to, like, bring in my state championship trophy from Jackie Robinson West.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I can. Where can I see it? It's coming to Hyde Park next week, right?
Yeah, it's part of the Chicago Film Festival.
All right, I'll find it.
And so I think it's at the Logan, the Logan Center at the University of Chicago on Sunday. But it's during Bears Ravens, so you can't.
Damn it!
Yeah, you got it. And when it comes out in wide release, But it was I was really happy with the way that it came across, and I was glad that I could add some levity in places and some context in others. And I'm so grateful that Kevin Shaw, the director, put me in it.
It's outstanding. Outstanding. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we have Jason Leisure. So that's today. We'll check in with Jason Leisure. We've already referenced him. Already referenced some of his work yesterday. And I know he was in the media session today as well. So he will be our beat reporter talking about this Bears win and beyond.
Spiegs, Caleb Williams wasn't the only offensive player that had a bad day yesterday.
Man, a full-on bad day? You're giving this guy credit for a full-on bad day? But we just heard Olin explain why he was the guy on Friday. We just understood
it. Doesn't mean that he's still... Well, we'll let you think about who that player might be, and we'll pay that off for you next here on The Score.
So I said, you're having a really bad day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns.
You
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Matt Walsh, who you know from all sorts of movies.
Matt, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Hello, Matt.
Uh-oh, Cylon's got him.
They got him.
Matt, thanks for joining us. We're really sorry about the technical issues here, man.
Thank you for having me. And turns out all those layoffs at the Score IT department didn't pay off.
They really didn't.
They really didn't.
No. You just got a lot more real than you bargained for. We are going in the emotional tank for the rest of the interview.
Afternoons on the Score.
First down and 5, and more laundry on the field.
Prior to the ball being snapped, false start. On the offense, number 79, that's a 5-yard penalty. First down.
Second time today, Theo Benedet has flinched early. Told you earlier, Ben Johnson said he didn't notice him last week. That was the best he could say about him. He's seen him a couple of times today.
Yes, and not in a good way.
Oh. Yeah, it didn't go great for Theo Benedet in his second NFL start.
Noticed him a couple of times and not in a good way.
Yeah, noticed him a lot. It's funny, we were texting with Big Ann Heron, who apparently doesn't know how to check the ball. That's what I took from the video he sent us. He's playing one-on-one with his son. Hey, man, check ball.
Hey,
you got to be ready.
Young Bishop fired a shot, and I put that in quotes, but it went right into the face of Anna Heron, and I feel like I heard Bishop scream, "I'm sorry," before the ball even left his hands. So I'm questioning intent. Anthony Heron is in for you tomorrow, so I will get to ask him about that in person tomorrow.
Hey, man, check ball. But I was listening to the post yesterday with Big Ann Heron, and I was driving around. I'm like, oh, let me check out my guy. And he was great yesterday talking about the really bad day that Theo Benedict had.
Man, it's because Olin on Friday was so great on Theo, made me understand why left tackle is Theo Benedict for the first time after a whole bunch of weeks of why it should not be Braxton Jones. I understood that Theo's effort and some of the basics, especially in the run game, and he might have still been really good about that yesterday. You know, but
he was having a hard time with Chase yesterday.
And he knew it. Here's Theo Benedet after the game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think we realized that the defense really, you know, helped deliver a winning performance today and helped kind of cover up some of the mistakes we made on offense, myself included, for sure.
What specifically? Because you mentioned it twice now that wasn't your best game.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like I probably didn't play winning football today. You know, mental mistakes, penalties, not what I wanted.
That really grinds on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. At least we came out with a win, and credit to all the other guys for, you know, picking up the slack.
I didn't play winning football today. That probably doesn't feel good. I've had those days.
It feels better when your team wins, though.
It does.
But there's also some guilt to go along with that. There's the guilt of, man, those guys had to carry me today.
Two false starts for Theo.
And then there was all the problems with Chase Young.
Yeah, where Chase Young, but I mean, Chase Young just went up the field and was right there. He almost had a pick six.
He almost had two.
Yeah, two different times. It's like, because they were doing the thing where they sent a guy in motion and then just had him run straight out to where they would do the wide receiver screen.
He picked it up real quick.
Yeah.
And luckily they were like, oh, let's not do that anymore.
Yeah, but the first time Caleb threw it like right at his shoulder.
He sure did. And Chase was like, oh, look at that. Where's the ball? Yeah. And he almost got it. The thing that I think Olin's did very professionally last week was talk about a guy who definitely has desire and want to and strength, but is lacking technique. And sometimes you can get away with that when you are an exceptional athlete. I'll give you an example. If we had a conversation with Kyle Long, he would tell you that at least his first year and maybe his second, he's doing it all on brute strength and not technique. And when you put those two things together, then you end up with a really special player. And with Benedet, I think that he knows the technique and he just wasn't able to apply it because he played against someone that has played long enough and knows a lot of tricks that he ended up in bad situations.
Well, and let's be honest about Chase Young, who is healthy and looked healthy yesterday.
He's an incredible athlete.
Outrageous. Number one overall or top five? Number three, maybe?
I thought number two.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll look it up.
Top two or three, I think. But anyway, outrageous athlete who has never delivered on his promise overall.
He should be a lot. He's on that list of guys. You're like, why aren't you better?
Yeah. But he's quick enough to line up out of reach.
He's only 26.
He's quick enough to line up out of reach of Theo Benedet's arms, which are not super long.
Wow. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist. I forgot that.
Chase Young was? Yeah. I mean, we're talking about him like redefining the defensive end.
16 and a half sacks that season
yeah.
in 2019.
So it looked to me like Chase Young was lining out a little wide and then just like using that absurd quickness that he's got to just blow by Theo Benedet anytime he wants. And thought maybe they'd give our good friends Max Protect and Chip Help a little more presence over there next to Theo. And maybe they did. Maybe they did to an extent. Because I'll tell you what they did do is they used multiple tight ends a lot yesterday. Like,
well, it was so funny because I spent a lot of time watching the Georgia-Mississippi game.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia, go look at what Georgia did. Georgia, it was almost a replication of what the Bears were doing, where they would go heavy to one side with both of their tight ends, like tight formation, and then change the formation and move them across. It looked very similar to what the Bears were doing yesterday. It was kind of dope to see it play out on both levels.
As long as we're talking about multiple tight ends, I saw this nugget, and we'll do some more like national NFL stuff or just around the league stuff tomorrow. Sean McVay and the Rams, over the course of four seasons from 2021 to 2024, they ran six plays with three tight ends on the field total. Six plays, not his thing, right?
Then they had that season where they had nobody and they had to do it.
But he never did it with three tight ends. So he had six plays total in 4 years. Yesterday, without Puka Nacua, they ran 24 plays with three tight ends.
I was thinking of the 11 personnel.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, because he went 11 personnel pretty much all the time, and then they ran out of receivers and they were running out of 12.
Right. So, but yesterday without Puka, he had three tight ends 24 different times, including the first three plays, and Stafford completed passes to tight ends on the first three plays of the game. So talk about a coach who's hopefully, like our guy, can pivot based on the personnel that you have and the needs of a given week. Man, McVay is crazy.
That Rams team is a problem.
Yeah, I think they are.
They're a problem. There's a couple of problems out there.
Yeah, there's a few different problems out there.
Patrick Mahomes is a problem again. Yeah, I hate to tell everybody.
31-0. He's happy, man. He's got Rasheed Rice back. He's got Worthy.
Pacheco's back.
Hollywood. He's got all his guys.
There's a problem.
Does the no-look thing. Probably still puts ketchup on his steak.
That's up to him.
Yeah.
Well, you can have a steak however you want it.
It's embarrassing.
However you want it. When we come back, Jason Leisure is at Hallis Hall, or was. We will talk with him about your Bears next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.